I'm going to be talking about association mapping using mixed models. The TASL software is, TASL stands for Trade Association Analysis, Evolution, and Linkage Disequilibrium. I'm not actually going to talk very much about how to use TASL software. I'm primarily going to talk about association mapping and some of the implementation details. So what is association mapping? Association mapping makes use of linkage disequilibrium in natural populations to find associations between phenotypes and genotypes. Examples, and natural populations in quotes, because, you know, primarily we're interested in domesticated crops and they're not natural. But, so, populations could be all of cultivated maize, they could be barley germplasm present in U.S. breeding programs, or they could be actual natural populations of Arabidopsis. Okay, quick example of the reason why association mapping works is that linkage disequilibrium decays with distance. In a diverse species, diverse outcrossing species such as maize, it decays very quickly. You can see these are examples of a couple of genes taken from a 2001 paper. In the case of the dwarf 3 gene, linkage disequilibrium decays very rapidly within 400 to 800, largely within 400 to 800 base pairs, and definitely within a couple of thousand. In the dwarf 8 gene, there's some linkage disequilibrium extending out to 2,000 to 3,000 base pairs. But in both examples, in maize in general, we're talking within a diverse population, linkage disequilibrium decaying within a few thousand base pairs. Okay, and that means if you have a very dense marker map, you can think about doing genome-wide association. At the current time within maize, you're probably thinking about doing candidate gene association. How much longer that'll be the case, I'm not sure. But one clear problem is that population structure can cause spurious associations. So if you're looking at a combination of just two populations, if those populations differ in phenotypic values, then any locus with distinctively different allele frequencies between the two populations is going to be associated with that phenotype. That can be a very serious problem. Take an example here from data generated by the Barley Cat program. Okay, the collection of barley germplasm in that program was donated by 10 breeding programs across the U.S., representing two-row barleys, six-row barley, malting barley, feed barleys, winter and spring. But in a lot of those cases, especially two-row and six-row, there's no, there's very little mixing between the two types. They're bred as pretty much individual microclasses, so the population structure is extensive. Okay, what we see here is that LD extends across. This is just chromosome 1 representing 1,800 lines and about 3,000 alumina markers. So there's a lot of data that goes into this graph. For chromosome 1, we see that LD decays slowly, but pretty much extends across the entire chromosome. That's not a good situation. A different way of looking at this, which is useful for making some method comparisons, is to look at the p-values associated with the R-squares. Okay, so this axis is the negative log 10 of the p-value. This axis is the distance in centimorgans. So let's take a look at this corner right here. Okay, and this is a p-value of 10 to the minus 100, so that's extreme. Okay, and over a distance of 60 centimorgans, you know, there's no LDK obvious. Now, if we take a look at the association, but we include just some population terms as a p-matrix, we see that we've got a much different situation. That effectively, in this case, the LD decays to a base level within about 20 centimorgans. If instead we use a K-matrix, and I'll explain what those are, LD decays to a base level within about 10 centimorgans. So we can very effectively correct for population structure problems. And we can do that within the context of a mixed model. In one sense, this is a mixed model equation, but that's not useful. So let's break down what, and this is the, y is the data, or phenotypic data, as a vector. X is the design matrix. B is a vector of unknown parameters that we want to estimate. So if we partition, X into a column of ones, the M's are the marker scores, the P is the population terms, and the Z is an incidence matrix relating which lines are represented here. And the unknowns are the overall, that correspond with these are the overall mean, the marker effect, population effects, and breeding values. And if we multiply those together, we get what looks more like the traditional mixed model equations. But so far, this isn't very useful. One solution to the equation, if the taxa aren't, or if the varieties are not replicated, is y equals the identity matrix times y. We make this useful by adding restrictions. First important restriction is to say that the breeding values are normally distributed with a mean of zero and a covariance equal to the additive genetic variance times a matrix K. And furthermore, that we have normally distributed error. So everything is pretty well, again, everything in this equation is pretty well defined so far except for the matrix P and the matrix K. Okay, the matrix P, which enters the term as a fixed effect, is simply a series of columns showing which individuals belong to which population. In this case, two individuals belong to population one, in this case, four to population two. More typically, we're going to say that these individuals have mixed membership in putative underlying populations. The population matrix, especially one like this, can be calculated using Bayesian modeling software such as Structure, but it can also be calculated using principal components analysis. So it turns out principal components analysis is much faster and at a practical level works just as well. So this is what's been implemented, for instance, in TASL, is just simply to calculate PCA axes. Okay, well, so what's the K matrix? Classically, it's the additive relationship matrix calculated from pedigrees and has often been represented as with an A instead of a K. Okay, we assume that individuals with unknown parents are unrelated and that breeding values are normally distributed, once again, with this covariance. But if our pedigree records are not thorough, or if we happen to have a lot of markers available, we can calculate K from markers. In fact, there's good evidence that if you have enough markers that the markers give you a better estimate of K than the pedigrees do, even if you have very extensive pedigrees. Basically, K is based on the percent of alleles shared across loci. There are a lot of methods out there for calculating K, but they basically boil down to that. K may be adjusted for arbitrarily chosen unrelatedness so that you make it look like the A matrix from above. But the question is, which taxa do you want to consider to be unrelated? All of this means it's not clear how what was classically our additive genetic variance really is anymore. You may be able to approximate it, but you have to remember that the interpretation is now unclear. Okay, and one additional problem is K may be a lot of methods for calculating K produce a matrix that is not non-negative definite. Okay, and bear with me for a slide. I'll explain why that may be important. Now, just quickly within TASL, there are a couple of methods that I won't go into very extensively here. A couple of methods implemented. The Emma method is taken from a paper that talks about efficient mixed model association. It's much faster than the EM method, also faster than a lot of methods for solving mixed models out there, but it only accepts a single random random effect, which will be the essentially the varieties or taxa. Okay. Now, when the K matrix is not non-negative definite, there's a formal definition of that, but means it has at least one non-negative eigenvalue. Okay, the EMMA implementation in TASEL works fine in this case. Okay, the our version of EMMA does not, fortunately, but RM is nice in that they provide you with a method of calculating a K matrix that produces a non-negative definite matrix. The reason why this may be of concern is depending on what method you're using to solve mixed models, you have to be aware that some of them don't behave very well if K is non-negative definite. Okay. The reason I mention that is because it took me a while to kind of dig down and discover that little piece of information. Okay. And the EM method in TASEL is an instance of a method that may fail to converge if K is not non-negative definite. Okay, contributors to the TASEL software include Ed Buckler, Terry Cass-Stevens, myself, Jiwu Zhang, Dallas Crone, and Hiroyoshi Iwata. So there have been a lot of people who contributed to the package. The barley cap data represents the efforts of a lot of people. Just to highlight a few, Gary Mielbauer is the lead PI on the project. Xiaomin Chao generated all the genotyping data that I showed. Tim Close developed the markers, and Tom Parker did a lot of the analysis that generated the data behind the graphs. The question is whether TASEL can be used for tetraploid species. Auto-tetraploids? Okay. TASEL was designed mainly to work with not even diploids as much as inbred lines, so it's almost, a lot of what it does is works best with homozygous diploids. You could make it work with auto-tetraploids by essentially treating each of the genotypes of the locus as distinct classes, but it doesn't do anything real intelligent with them. So that may not be your software choice for that.
You mentioned that linkage disequilibrium stays within 300 base pairs in the maze.
200 to a few thousand.
Yeah, so does it mean that the number of markers
It's probably the question is how many markers in the case of maize do you need to do genome-wide or to do association analysis? And part of the problem is that you can use LD to infer linkage, but you can't use lack of LD to infer that you don't have linkage. A lot of the markers that are very tightly linked are not in LD, so you can't get by with one marker within a few hundred centimorgans. You have to have, I'm just wondering, several markers, so that you hope at least one of them will find your QTL. In the in the case of very diverse maize populations, not necessarily breeding populations, but very diverse maize populations, you may almost need sequence. But self-pollinated species like barley, I was showing, is entirely different.
In using pedigree information to adjust for population structure, what if pedigree information is not available for a number of lines in the population that you're looking at? So basically, if there are missing values in that name.
Okay, I haven't done a lot with calculating K matrices from pedigrees, but if you're missing data, then the quality of your population estimates are just not going to be as good.
And, you know, there would also be the question of, okay, how many markers do you need before your relationship information from the markers become better than pedigrees? And again, can't give you strict guidelines on that, but there's at some point they do become better.
Which of the marker systems are most ideal for this analysis, so like microsatellites or SNPs?
Oh, for association analysis, the marker type doesn't matter. What counts is how many of them you have.
Can we use even expression data also?
That's an interesting question. I guess I wouldn't be inclined to use. The problem is the expression data. What you're interested in is the underlying genotype. The expression data would essentially be measuring the underlying genotype possibly with a lot of error, and I'm not sure how well that would work.
Let me, since everybody's leaving, let's thank, please, all the speakers. And we can keep having questions.